You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. This is Matthew Raphael Johnson, and this is being recorded on the 17th of April, 2024. And like almost everything we do here, we deal with the lies of the media. The media is a combatant in the wars afflicting the planet. And I think it necessary today to deal with the retaliatory strike from Tehran on Israel, or against Israel, the 14th of April, just a few days ago. It's very difficult to read mainstream media accounts, you know, partially because of the ignorance, partially because of the identical rhetoric used, and partially because of the intense bias, I think, comes as much from ignorance as it does just, you know, the nature of Jewish media ownership. The April 1st attack on Iran, and we say that because an embassy is considered, both by tradition and international law, to be part of the soil of the home country. This was just one of many attacks that are, in fact, assassinations against Iranian diplomats, politicians, military officials, and importantly, scientists. If you've been listening to this show for any length of time, when Sven was around and we were doing this together, and we will be doing this together again soon, we spoke at length of the scientists, academics, military men that were murdered by Mossad or Israeli military strikes going back years and years and years and years. A huge portion of scientists in Iran specializing in nuclear power, nuclear energy, have been murdered over the last 10 or 15 years. And of course, all of this happens with American support, and especially when they're attacking scientists, these are acts of terror. Terror is, of course, anything that the Americans and the Jews say it is. Several generals in the Iranian military were killed. Several, in fact, and there were a few civilians. I don't put much stock in international law, but this is one that really comes from tradition. Now, those military men from Iran murdered in Syria, they were invited. They were supposed to be there. They were meant to be there. The Americans, of course, have no right to be there and no right to have the empire that it has. The Iranian leadership called the retaliation a slap in the face. And I think, I don't know the Persian versions of these words, but these terms are chosen very specifically. A slap in the face is really a minor matter. It's not a baseball bat to the head. Using those words or that expression in whatever language suggests that this is just a very small introduction to what Iran is capable of. And if you've been listening to me, you've known that I have spoken of Iran as a, you know, what the regime would call an advanced first world economy. I don't like those terms, but in the sense that it's highly scientific and industrialized. It is not a third world state. The Iranians were very careful in this retaliation. But a few interesting things have come out of it. Most of you, I'm sure, anyone who listens to me, immediately after this was reported, The claim was reported at the same time that 99%, and that is repeated over and over and over again, of both the drones and the missiles launched by Iran against Israel were intercepted. And the implications of that. Now, I don't know how they could know that so quickly, how it could go through the censors so quickly. It clearly was a politician or a spokesman making that very snide claim, and of course, it gets repeated. Those who control the Biden administration, yeah, the rhetoric is the same, that we have these ironclad security guarantees for Israel, and of course, further sanctions on Iran, which I didn't think was possible. Now, it started on the 13th of April. The Iranian Special Forces took an Israeli-operated a container ship in the Strait of Hormuz, forcing it into an Iranian port. And then not too long afterwards, you had this reported launching of what are called kamikaze drones in the hundreds, rockets and various forms of ballistic missiles simultaneously fired into Israel, not just from Iran, but also from Hezbollah and bases in southern Lebanon. Needless to say, the Houthis in Yemen and various Shiite and pro-Iranian groups in Iraq and Syria. It was a networked response, and it was very impressive. Now, I think the 99% figure, I mean, no other figure was ever mentioned. No one asked for the source of this number. I think it came from the IDF spokesman, Daniel Haggadi, who went so far as to say almost immediately that almost all of these were intercepted even prior to them entering Israeli airspace. And they loved using the phrase, the Iron Dome defense system. It gives some kind of a football invincibility concept, almost of American and Jewish invincibility, using words like that, using phrases like that. There was also the claim that Jordan and Saudi Arabia were part of the response, the Israeli response, in shooting down these weapons of war. But I have not come across verification of that. Saudi Arabia, well, Jordan, maybe I understand. Saudi Arabia has grown more closer to Iran the last few years, and furthermore, has, and in fact, all the Gulf monarchies, I think all of them, have stated to the Americans that you may not use our airspace for any action in support of the Israeli system. Now, the other comment, the other figure that gets repeated over and over again, and the very fact that it has to be repeated over and over again, no one asking for the source, by itself should raise suspicions, that the cost of Israel's defending itself using this Iron Dome system, which we're going to talk about in some detail here in a minute, was about $1 billion, which should raise some eyebrows here. In other words, this system, which, by the way, failed completely, and again, I'm going to talk about that here in a minute, just in this very brief attack, was $1 billion worth of equipment. A few secret bases have been exposed. And in fact, some of those bases, not secret anymore, were used to kill the Revolutionary Guard officers in Damascus on April 1st. The Iranians, again, very careful. They said this is strictly a limited campaign against exclusively military targets. Now, it was only proportional to the attack on the embassy, not on the endless attacks and murders of the Zionist entity against Iranian and, you know, Persian scholars and scientists. But they're very careful as far as world opinion is concerned, because they sense that world opinion is, or at least Western opinion, is moving against Tel Aviv, which is something I can't believe I'm saying. The other repeated line, and this came a little bit later, was that allegedly the people who controlled Biden had him mutter to Netanyahu that the U.S., well, you know, backs Israel and we love the Jews and all this, that we will not back further escalation. And I don't think he has much control over any of that. But his comment, that Biden, unelected zombie, said something like, "I was so surprised Israel demonstrated a remarkable capacity to defend against these unprecedented attacks," even going so far as to say that it sent a clear message to its foes, meaning Israel's foes, that they cannot effectively threaten security of Israel, which has more to do with praising the American system than anything else, that America is invincible and the empire is not in decline, etc. Those of you who are subscribed to my Patreon page, which you should be if you're not, you know I've gone into painstaking detail as to all of the problems, technical and otherwise, with the American military, that it is, to a great extent, a paper tiger. And that's what that comment came from. The message, of course, was something along the lines of deterrence. But the next time, and remember, the West got 72 hours notice here. Iran was very careful. But after this, if this has to happen again, it's going to be a more extensive and devastating response. I don't want to say all the Islamic nations in the Middle East, but most of them warned the U.S. that no more you're going to use our land or even sea and airspace to assist the Israelis. Now, CNN said that Sunday, early Sunday, the 14th, and again, where they get the information, they didn't say. They said that American forces intercepted 70 drones and at least 3 ballistic missiles, which is a fairly low number. Now, of course, the G7 got together, et cetera, called this a brazen attack. They're going to condemn Iran and demand restraint. And not that this is a real election coming up. People aren't even talking about it. Clearly, it's going to be rigged in one way or another. But this is a theatrical performance. What it's meant to do for a man who does not, will not campaign, has not campaigned in 2 election cycles. He has no capacity to. But this is essentially a choreographed production making Biden for once appear strong. This commander-in-chief, that he knows what's going on, he knows where he is, even saving humanity from Armageddon. And maybe this may be one of the things that are used to justify his rigged victory, or whatever happens in a few months. It's a media-generated hallucination. Of course, Iran was merely defending itself. And even the opponents of the Palestinian, the Islamic, the Axis of Resistance, were saying that this was legitimate. The truth of the matter in terms of damage or death may never be known. Countries, especially Israel, always lie about their casualties, so it's very hard to be fully accurate. Maybe one day we'll know. Of course, the press, coming from Tel Aviv and Washington, say that the Iranians are they're attacking in an unprecedented way, leaving all of that open to interpretation, and Israel is the perpetual victim. But, it doesn't take a genius to figure out this is what's going to happen. Israel's foreign minister a few days ago, Katz, I'm quoting him here, he said, "Iran launched a large-scale and unprecedented attack against the state of Israel, which included hundreds of drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles. This attack once again proves what Israel's been saying for years. Iran is behind terrorist attacks in the region and is also the greatest threat to regional stability and world order, which is why Iran should never acquire nuclear weapons. Iran must pay the price for this aggression. And the first step in this direction must be immediate recognition of the Iranian IRGC, which carried out this large-scale terrorist attack against Israel, as a terrorist organization. The entire free world must stand with Israel against the axis of Iranian evil." Now, it's an impressive statement because in just a few words, it crams together the list of demands of Israeli foreign policy. Iran has not sought nuclear weapons, although it should. It did seek nuclear power because, of course, they're well aware that the oil is not going to last forever. many of the oil-producing states are like that. Trying to rally the world in favor of Israel now is extremely difficult. It's very hard to distract global attention away from what they're doing. The Jewish elite in Israel are a pariah right now. And of course, these were deliberately non-terrorist attacks because they did not hit civilians exclusively. They were very careful in that regard. You guys remember John Bolton, who really is, I mean, even if I agreed with him, I'd say, get off my side. He's an absolute idiot. The former national security advisor. Can you imagine this guy advising anyone about anything? He said to his friends at CNN, passivity at this point for Israel would be a big mistake. This is not time to play academic games, message and signal. This is a question of power. If they came from a different location containing nuclear warheads, Israel might not be so lucky. Now, I'm not sure what sanctions the BlackRock administration can add. Most people, I think, were under the impression that it's been sanctioned for a long time. Are there things that are not sanctioned? Many of you may have read my article on the nature of sanctions in American law, also on Patreon. But one of the things that it's mostly the Republicans, but both parties are doing it. They want to, first of all, ban Iranian imports. I wasn't sure what was being imported from there. And ban Iran's oil sales to China. I find that interesting, exactly what leverage the U.S. thinks it has. So, but what, you know, and then calling the Special Forces or the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps a terrorist organization, that again will do nothing but just destroy the term. The regime loves using terms like racist or sexist or terrorist or violent, abuse, all these terms, narcissistic. They take a lot of these terms, and because of the emotional punch that they have, they just use them anywhere it suits them. And so they lose all meaning over time. The Russians, of course, you know, gave the very typical diplomatic response. And Putin personally said, if the U.S. wants to come into the field to support Israel, we will not sit idly here. The smallest attack by the United States on Iranian soil will force us to support Iran. There's been a lot of false quotes attributed to the foreign ministry as well as Putin. We have to be very careful. But what we know about the Russian foreign ministry in this regard was that they came out and said, they always had this balanced approach, typical diplomats, but they said very clearly that the Iranian attack was retaliatory and a matter of self-defense. Now, of course, as far as the 99% figure is concerned, that's disputed. The total numbers are not known and wouldn't be known anyway, you know, because these kind of investigations take a long time. And of course, you need an independent investigation, which you don't have. Iran, again, a first world society using drones and guided missiles, deliberately targeted that one base where the F-35s were launched. The aircraft were launched to attack Iran's embassy in Damascus. And that, if anything, it was the hypersonic missiles, technology from Russia, were the ones who most certainly reached their goals, hitting the Nevatim air base. And that's where, you know, then that would count as a terrorist attack against Iranian soil in Damascus. Now, the Israelis, the American press, not knowing anything, everything has to go through military officials and the embedded journalist system. Regime says no real damage in Israel occurred, and that's likely false. One of the IDF spokesmen, Peter Lerner, said, just because we are successful in intercepting, we should not underestimate what Iran did. We're currently reviewing options after IDF presented what it believes could be done, whatever that means. And everything that the politicians will say, they'll say, well, yes, it was a victory in the sense we knocked almost everything they sent out of the sky. What did land didn't do anything, but we're not going to be so lucky next time. In fact, John Bolton, again, was the first one to bring up nuclear stuff. And listen, I'm really getting irritated at the endless claims that World War III is starting. There's no power in the Middle East that can do anything without some idiot talking about World War III and nuclear weapons. They've been saying this since the 60s and 70s, and it hasn't happened. You know, this is just, it's tiring. Just do a Google image search on the attack on, Iran's attack on Israel, and you'll see endless graphics about World War III starting, things like that. So there's an Israeli military analyst named Amos Harel, or Harrell, again, bragging about the incredible operational capabilities, mostly of the Israeli Air Force, claiming that they had averted a total disaster by preventing the targeting of these military bases, and that Tehran must be terribly disappointed. The claim, of course, in Harel's mind, the American media's mind, is that this is what Iran was trying to do, was trying to show off its advanced capabilities. And the claim is that they were trying to destroy the F-35 fighters stationed at the base, and Iran failed completely. Now, there's some problems here. That was not the Iranian intention, and that was not the proper interpretation of what we know right now with the attack's results. No one but the hardest core neocon is talking about Iran's objectives as widening the confrontation. I mean, Iran has been very clear in what its intentions were. It's very hard to lie about that, although the media does it all the time anyway. The point was to avoid escalation. Now, because everything has to be filtered through the propaganda prisms of the regime, and people like Harel, who are essentially doing psyops, are doing nothing other than inflating these military achievements. And very little of it, by the way, is Israeli. It's mostly American. Because of the declining confidence in the military's ability to protect Israel after last year's Hamas attack, they have every reason in the world to exaggerate the nature of the Iron Dome and how impregnable this system is, even calling it Israeli when in fact it was American from top to bottom. But the scale of this attack, which was fairly minor, the diversity of locations, and the nature of the weapons, it did, and several people have mentioned this already, forced an uncovering of the capabilities of these anti-missile technologies. The Iranians didn't use anything the West didn't already know it possessed. And now, because of this, the Iranians have the entire architecture of what this Iron Dome is, where it is, and how it functions. And essentially, it can reverse engineer everything. And so the U.S. is going to have to then alter everything, using money, of course, it doesn't have. So this isn't merely theatrics from the Iranian side. The regime is going to use it in the West for however they will, but this is more than just theatrics. So from that reason alone, if that was the main purpose, it was extremely successful. And it doesn't take, more objects, more missiles, projectiles hit targets than Israel will ever let on. There's been video evidence recorded by Palestinians near that particular military base, the Tuvim, showing missiles hitting their targets, at least apparently so. But of course, I don't think we're going to get confirmation anytime soon. And of course, the cost, which the Israelis admit, of at least $1 billion just in this operation alone. The Israelis are, they've been forced to admit that. So in a full-scale attack, there's no way they could maintain this. So this whole concept, this integrated layers of missile defense, is basically American. And obviously it exposes Israel's reliance on the Americans and NATO more generally. The strike itself was very cautious, and it's going to force the IDF and the U.S. to completely restructure everything. Now, talking about the implications, we need to be clear here. We're talking about now 6 months into this war, and Israel has never been more divided. Yes, they want you know, the society wants this war to be won, not just fought, but are vehemently against how Likud is doing this. Even the Wall Street Journal has to admit this. And allegedly, I don't know how real this is, but there is increasing tension between U.S. and Israel in terms of how this war should be fought. Now, I've been very consistent on what I think the nature of the American Empire, the nature of the regime, and its extreme straits that it finds itself in today. And every day it gets worse and worse. And we could just list a few implications. Israel today is now a genocidal pariah. No one fears it anymore. It is anything but invincible. 6 months in, and the war has not anywhere near been won. Hamas not only has not been defeated, but still is in political power in Gaza. Nor is there any hostage that have been freed directly by military force. And I don't think there's a plan to do so. But the population of North Israel is going to remain in that state. These, whatever it was, 330, 350 drones and missiles that were just launched. The other thing, which the other purpose here was to deplete stocks of these interceptor missiles, which, as we all know, have been very low for a long time. And in the Ukrainian matter, even there, the initial surplus was drawn down, and now the situation is far worse. And the Iranians look very good here because they didn't touch a civilian center, and yet that's Israel's policy. You have some Western FAW experts talking about that this was a well-planned and even diplomatic strike, given the circumstances. And it's not what Iran will do. People fear what the Israelis will do, especially when the Iranians are backed by Russia and China. I said from the very beginning that moderate Arab states, if they even for a moment look like they're supporting Israel, are going to fall. Because a genocide is now admitted by almost everyone except Republicans. I mean, you have Americans, including American elites, calling for Netanyahu's resignation. A terrified Israeli population, and nobody, whether it be in Tel Aviv or Washington, has any idea, again, how to conclude this war. And of course, the intellectual cognitive capacity in the Western world of rethinking and resetting, it doesn't exist, as I've been saying since I was a teenager. There's no cognitive resources for Americans or Canadians or Englishmen to, elites, of course, people in power, to rethink these policies. This is how they're educated. This is what they take for granted. It's axiomatic for them. Israel may gamble that the U.S., they've had this problem before with the Arrow Air mass murder, Israeli mass murder of American soldiers, coming back from enforcing the Camp David Accords, which I've published on extensively. They're willing to kill Americans here. So before I go, I do want to get, I promise more detail here, the nature of this attack and the nature of these implications. It appears that only about 110 ballistic missiles were sent out of the full 330. And even if the 99% figure is true, which it certainly is not, this was such a minor attack. You know, if they send, say, 3,500 rather than 350 and not give 72 hours. Remember, the Iranians gave 72 hours advance notice here. Now, thank God for Scott Ritter. And I've quoted him many times because he has the technical military knowledge that many of us don't have. But the Iranians, as he says, kind of had to prove to themselves that they were capable of overcoming this so-called Iron Dome. And why it's so immensely important that the regime, either by lying or telling the truth, convinces the world that this is impregnable. And the Iranians were able to accomplish this. In fact, Ritter, whose knowledge of the technical elements of the Iron Dome far exceed any of us, as far as I know, say that this entire system failed, that the U.S. is not well protected, far more missiles hit their targets and drones than the regime will ever admit. Because frankly, the alliance with the U.S. hinges on the assumptions of a missile shield. Remember, these Israeli bases were the best protected places on Earth, and certainly the best protected in the Middle East, and Iran proved the vulnerability. Remember what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with this layered multi-billion dollar shield that the Israeli missile defenses, the Arrow 2 and 3, David Sling, etc., are buttressed by the ANTPY, the X-band radar, which is operated by the American Army's 13th Missile Defense Battery, located in the Negev Desert. And this is a highly advanced radar system that could detect and track missiles, and are able to tell the difference between hostile and non-hostile. And that's integrated with the THAAD system, the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, which is meant to guide the intercepting missiles to the target, which is now the second layer. And there are at least one, maybe two, deployed, according to Ritter, in Israel. And then, of course, this is further integrated third with the Ballistic Missile Defense Organization, which is a global network of early warning satellites with the sole purpose of watching Iran. And on top of all that, you had at least two Navy ballistic missile defense Aegis-class destroyers with a different kind of radar, the SPY-1 or the SM-3, using the SM-3 interceptor missiles. And then all of this is integrated via the Navy through the Command Control Battle Management Communication System. So you have this multi-layered, integrative, extremely expensive, very complicated system of missile control, and they simply cannot admit that anything got through. You have something like 5 identifiable integrated elements to this extremely complex missile system. And yet, according to Ritter and many others, on April 14th, it failed. These Israeli air bases, well protected more than anything else by this integrated system, were hit and hit hard. This was a failure of the defense system. And this is a relatively small attack if you triple, quadruple the number of weapons sent worldwide from Iran, from Syria, from Iraq. Now it means that NATO and the U.S. are vulnerable. These were not the most advanced systems. Now Taiwan has to be asking questions. South Korea has to be asking questions about what really happened here. Well, let's be clear further that the official admission as of right now that at least 3 the Iranian missiles hit their target. Now, they went from 3 to now they're saying at least 9. But those 9 hit at least 3 of Israel's best and most well-protected military bases, including those that are not meant to be, that were at that point secret. Now, as far as what I've seen so far, in terms of the video imagery that has been permitted to be released so far, and even in Israel's own propaganda, showing some of the missiles fired at Israel, the main video that's been released to the press shows in the last few seconds is a decade-old video of a Russian Grad missile launch. And I guarantee you there's going to be others coming out saying that this is a composite of failed missiles and everything else from different eras and different places. That's extremely common as far as the regime is concerned. So they're already lying about this, which means far more missiles got through and far more damage was done. The 99% is clearly not true, and it really doesn't matter anyway because now the structure has been revealed. And this was a very small, very minor attack by comparison to what they're capable of. And certainly, the only reason, if they were successful here at all, it was because they were given notice. The Iranians will not be polite enough to give 72 hours notice next time. But the point is, of course, to drag the Americans into this. And the Americans don't seem to want to, which means a real false flag may have to occur. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for listening to me. And I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.